This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Now we bring on NBA Insider from ESPN, our guy Tim McMahon. Tim, it's Don and Peter. Where do we stand in terms of the Knicks and landing Jalen Brunson?
At this point, it would be an absolute shocker if Jalen Brunson does not sign with the New York Knicks. Certainly sounds like it's going to be 4 years. It's going to be more than $100 million. We'll see if the Mavericks can salvage some sort of sign and trade to get, even if it's just a trade exception, you know, so, to get something out of this. But the Mavericks are basically resigned to losing Jalen Brunson, which is a huge blow to Dallas. And obviously was, was something that the Knicks looked at as a major coup for them.
And with the cap space they freed up last night, can there be something additional to Brunson before we kick off the season next year?
Well, the big buzz has been DeJounte Murray potentially in a trade. The Knicks certainly are not the only team that has major interest there, but the Knicks, I was really impressed that the Knicks were able to create the cap space for Brunson without sacrificing a lot of assets. You know, obviously they got out of the first round this year, but they ended up, with additional picks long term. The ones they got from OKC aren't great. We'll see if they actually end up being ones, but there's still things you can use and trade. They didn't give up any of their own future picks. They still have the Mavericks pick in the next draft. So they have some ammunition there. Like I said, I think if you're looking at another major hit for the Knicks, DeJounte Murray would be the most likely, but there's also a lot of competition for him. The Atlanta Hawks are the team that I've heard the most on the Murray talks.
And Tim, what do you think about the prospect of these two guys together, of Murray and Brunson together? Is that a good fit for the Knicks?
It's an interesting fit. I think they're both really good players. I think Jalen in particular has proven it to be adaptable. Certainly he adapted to playing with Luka Doncic, to playing without the ball in his hands. At the same time, I think one of the major attractions, other than money and deep family ties, one of the major attractions to the Knicks is the idea that, hey, you're not going to be playing in an MVP candidate's shadow. This is going to be your show to run. And he got a taste of that. He got a taste of that when Luka missed games this season, and particularly in the playoffs. And he showed in that playoff series, 41 points, 31 points. So he showed that he could perform in those situations. I do think that Jalen is at his best when he has space, and that'd be my biggest concern about the Knicks. He is so good off the dribble, despite the fact he's not necessarily really explosive. He's a great finisher. He's so good at kind of creating little angles, creating little slivers of space to get his shot off, so efficient in that floater range. But it's a lot easier to do that when you have these wide driving lanes because you're surrounded by shooting. And that's not something I look at the Knicks roster and see much of.
So where – all right, let's put Murray on the shelf for now. Going into next year with Brunson, finally having a legitimate point guard, Randle, who's still a really good player, Barrett, who might be able to take the next step. What's the ceiling for the team?
I don't look at that and say, hey, wow, this is a contender. I look at that and say, probably a play-in type of team. Maybe they can, maybe they can get up there, to six or five or so. Tibbs is a guy who has shown in the past he can kind of squeeze every little drop out of a roster if guys are bought in. I do wonder, some of the prominent veterans on that team, can their buy-in be refreshed? I think it diminished last season significantly. I will say this about Brunson. He is a phenomenal culture guy. Obviously grew up, son of an NBA grinder, an NBA journeyman in Rick Brunson. Won two titles at Villanova. His presence is going to be massively missed in the Mavericks locker room, and I think will be a major plus in the Knicks.
Let's move over for a second, if we can, to the Brooklyn Nets and the Kyrie and KD of it all. Tim, what's the general consensus on what this is going to look like next year? Do people have the expectation that Kyrie Irving is really going to try to prove himself and play 65, 70 games? Or are people expecting more of the same next year for a team that's essentially not able to ever get on the court at the same time?
I mean, anybody who says they have firm expectations for how things are going to play out with Kyrie Irving either has a crystal ball or is an absolute fool. Like, come on, dude. Yeah, you've seen the way this is unplayed, not just the last couple of years in Boston, the previous couple of years in Brooklyn, the end of his time in Cleveland. Stay tuned. Like, I'm not betting he plays 70 games. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. How could what would you? But just personal hunch. What do you? How do you see it playing out?
Very dramatically.
That's the safest bet you could make.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a happy ending in Brooklyn for him. It hasn't been at his previous couple of stops. Obviously, there are relationships that are, I'll put it politely, that have been frayed there. There's a lack of trust on both sides. There's a lot of potential for drama there. You know, at the same time, hey, if Kevin Durant's healthy, he's still one of the, whatever you want to say, 2, 3, 4, 1 best players in the game. Kyrie Irving certainly is capable of, you know, of bursts of just absolute spectacular play. You know, if Joe Harris can stay healthy, you know, Seth, I mean, you can talk yourself into the Nets still being a legitimate contender. But, man, there's a lot of mess that has to be cleaned up for that to happen.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you surprised at all the quality of player that KD is, that he hitches his wagon to Kyrie?
I'm perplexed by it. And you know what? He's a grown man. He, you know, they've got obviously a relationship. It's a decision that he made. I don't understand it, but you know what? I'm sure KD will tell you, I don't care if you know, some dude who works at ESPN understands my decision or not.
Right.
But, man, you know, you obviously had a great situation in Golden State. I guess he, you know, maybe felt like he needed to go somewhere else and prove that he didn't need to hitch his wagon to the Warriors, to Steph Curry and Draymond and Klay Thompson, those guys. Man, I just think he could have found a sturdier wagon to hitch to.
That's a good way to put it. We're talking to Tim McMahon of ESPN, breaking down all things NBA. Again, I'm going to go back to just personal hunch, because obviously at this point, Tim, we're sort of grasping at straws to know exactly what a team's going to look like by the time we get to the opening of the NBA season next year. But if you're a Nets fan or a Knicks fan at this moment, are you feeling more optimistic? Obviously, on paper, the idea of Kyrie and KD means you could take another crack at a championship. But as you just explained eloquently, that's far from a guarantee. So which fan base do you think is in for a better year next year?
I mean, as far as, like, optimism, I think there's room for more optimism with the Nets. They've got a significantly higher ceiling. I mean, they do have championship-caliber talent, at least. So I would say a higher ceiling, so more room for hope with the Nets. I think I would bet, though, on it being a more enjoyable season for Knicks fans. I do think the Knicks, you know, take a step forward. I think there's You know, I think Brunson will be a good. You know, don't put the savior of the franchise stuff on Brunson's shoulders. That's not who he is. I do think he will be a good player. I think by the end of that contract, people aren't going to look at that as some kind of overpay. I think it'll end up being, you know, at least a reasonable deal. And I, again, if you're asking me what do I think will happen with the Nets, I think it's going to be a lot of what we saw last year, which is just messiness and drama and not a lot of fun for a fan base.
And it was a tough year last year for the Knicks, bunch of reasons why. But as much fun as we had with Thibodeau the first year, not great the second year. Where do you stand on him being the guy that's going to be at the helm of this team that's trying to take the next step?
Yeah, I think it's questionable. And again, I do think that Tibbs can have a shelf life, right? Like, you can only yell and scream and rant and rave and grumble and growl so much before guys might tune it out. Now, you know, hey, the guys who are tuning it out or have tuned it out, you know, I don't know that they'll be in a Knicks uniform a whole lot longer. You know, we'll see how the rest of the summer plays out. We'll see what plays out before the trade deadline. Obviously, they're bringing Brunson in, and Brunson will be a full buy-in guy. I mean, Brunson was a full buy-in guy when he was miserable in Dallas under Rick Carlisle. He certainly will be under Tibbs with his dad on the coaching staff, with, you know, essentially his godfather, Leon Rose, running the thing. And he's known Tibbs his whole life as well. So, you know, I think you're paying to bring him in, not just because he legitimately could be a 20-point, 7-assist-per-game, you know, efficient run-your-team point guard, but I do think that he'll come in and provide some, not rah-rah, you know, real loud vocal type of leadership, but some steady, quiet leadership in the locker room for sure.
Tim, thank you so much for making time for us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it, fellas.
There he is, Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA insider. Good stuff there, Don.
Yeah, he said what we said. You know, that this is a nice move, but it's not, you know, culture changing by any stretch, but it's a really good guy that should be able to help in that room. Not that that was an issue with the Knicks, but still, you know, bring in some leadership. It's a good move. It's a good, solid move. And we'll see if Murray can work, too, to get this team at least pointed in the right direction. What I was interested in, he just not believe that even in a contract year that you can trust Kyrie.
Yeah, it was interesting, though, that answer was telling in terms of how little faith he had in anything about the Nets team except the fact that it would be a circus of some sort.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. We'll start with Terrell in New York. What's up, Terrell?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Hey, what's going on, fella? Sorry about that.
No problem.
Yeah, real quick. Well, first, congratulations to Peter, man, on your engagement. I'm a fan of good news, and that put me in a good spirit when I heard that.
That's so nice to say. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. Then two things real quick. I got a few spoilers for you guys. Number one, Kyrie's going to put up an MVP-type season. He's going to finish top five in MVP voting because of the contract year and because of the talent. I think this is going to be the one year in his career where he puts it all together. And then for the Knicks, I think next year the plan comes through and they're going to get Zion Williamson, and then we're going to see everything come to fruition, and we're going to have the Nets and the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals next year. Book it. All right, fellas.
Book it. Wait a minute. You're booking it and hanging up? Wait. Oh! Save that. Please save that.
I'm in sports.
He said book it and then hung up.
Yeah. I have. You have to respect it.
I don't agree with it.
You don't have to agree with it. But the combo of book it and then banging on the phone, that's something.
As a matter of fact, I think the more you disagree with it, the more you respect it. Because yeah, then it's even more bold that you just completely disagree with the guy. Listen, would I love to see that happen? First of all, we need to be able to see Zion stay on the court and be worth signing. But to see them both, because then that would say, because listen, what he's also saying is that the Nets are going to be able to continue beyond this year. which means that would they re-up with Kyrie? There's a bunch of bold statements there.
He started out of the gate with Kyrie's going to be a top five MVP candidate.
Which I don't disagree with. I don't even think that's that bold. I'm on the other side. Wait a minute. I'm on the other ledger. I'm on the other side of it. That I think Kyrie's going to have a monster year. Please save that.
Oh, you agree with him?
Completely agree with him. I don't agree that it, you know, Knicks Nets conference final in 2 years. But why wouldn't you? I mean, we know Kyrie's great. How could he pull these antics in a walk year? Is he that out of his mind? This would be the year that he would mind his piece. Listen, I'm not saying he's going to play 82 games. That would be ridiculous. Barring injury, he would be nuts to play less than 70. He'd be nuts to pull anything. This would be the year he would just say, all right, I'm going to go out, I'm going to play, I'm going to prove the world wrong, get my monster deal, and then once he gets the monster deal, you know, let the antics begin. But how he'd be out of his mind to do it this year. Because at least right now, I can kind of understand where he's coming from as far as, you know, being passionate about other things and all that. But if he does it in a year in which he's already sacrificed a ton of money, is he really? And I really believe that he sacrificed that money knowing that at the end of the rainbow is going to be a pot of gold and it's a long-term contract after this season. Is he going to jeopardize it again with the vaccine mandate lifted? Could he find something else? I guess he could, but how nuts would that be?
1-800-919-3776. We go to Rodney in the Bronx. What's up, Rodney? Big Rod?
Okay.
you're really.
Hello?
You nailed it today, Peter. I got.
Who's this? What's up, homies?
I can't believe you just said that.
I'm no sport.
You're killing me, Peter. What is up with you today? Oh. was I the only one that caught that?
No, I caught that. if you notice, I say big so-and-so a lot.
You do, and it was just circumstances.
Like Frank online, too. What's up, Big Frank? I that's the thing I do. I it's a little thing I do. His right. Name happened to be Rod.
Yeah, I was just saying, good thing Dick wasn't on hold.
Let's go to Mitchell and Piscataway. Mitchell, you played basketball with Kyrie?
Yeah, a couple years ago, back in Piscataway. He grew up in this area.
That's right. I know.
So we grew up in the park playing basketball.
Wow.
Now,
he's the type of guy that loves to prove people wrong. Mm-hmm. He's the type of guy that likes to get on the court and prove you wrong.
Yep. So you think this is going to be a huge year for him?
If he's healthy. Excuse me?
So you think it's going to be a huge year for him because it's the ultimate prove people wrong year.
Huge year.
Yeah, I agree.
Everybody is down talking him. He's going to have a huge year. Now, top five MVP, I don't know about all that. I don't know. He's going to have a huge year.
Let me ask you, unless the Nets, for some reason, everybody gets hurt, how could he have a monster year and not be in the top five MVP? He's Kyrie.
Because he's Kyrie. Because he's Kyrie, you know, when it comes to sports writers and he's the bad boy of the sport now. He's the bad boy of the sport. So
that is fair.
You know how that is. We've all seen it.
Whoa.
You know, you can be the bad boy and put up numbers and not get the accolades that you should get.
I guess.
And also,
but whatever, he's going to have a monster year.
I think it's a good take. The interesting part to me would be, assuming he does have a monster year, let's say he plays 68 games next year, puts up 28 points, 8 assists a game, just vintage, absolute Kyrie magic, ball on a string, breaking ankles, doing all the things he does. Then he turns around and gets one more monster contract. You know, I don't even know what the number would that for be. Like, Kyrie comes off of an insane year next year, Don. What's he in? He could be looking at what, 5 years, 250 or something?
Yeah.
an absolute monster deal. My question would be, what do you then get from him after that?
Well, that's the question. That's why he has no choice but to have a monster year.
Yeah, because he has to make it impossible for people where they have to give him the contract and take the gamble because he's that good.
Right.
And he's capable of it.
But if there's antics again, if he ends up playing, missing half the season, going off the rails again over something, whether it's just or not, to be like, I can't get into bed with this guy. But if he goes out and has a monster season, that's the intoxication of, that's what I could possibly get if everything works out. But it would just accentuate what you already think of him if he ends up having a similar year. That's why, barring injury, it would be impossible for me to believe that he would pull the stunts that he's been pulling in recent years. Then you would have to really wonder what's going on with him. Because I can, not that I excuse the behavior, but with all the money that he sacrificed for these just causes, if he felt that being anti-vax was a just cause, mm-hmm. he probably knew that he's got this contract that's coming. He can make up for it. Is he really going to cost himself millions upon millions of dollars to do it again? And just, as the caller said before, he wants to prove people wrong. Wouldn't it really stick it to everybody? Just have an absolute monster year and get the contract that everybody's debating whether they give him or not.
Well, it would be the most Kyrie thing ever. Like, for him to next year just absolutely show up the entire, you know, as he sees it, the entire media, the entire public, you know, he believes he's public enemy number one, and sometimes with good reason. God, there'd be nothing more Kyrie than absolutely just raking, for lack of a better word, next year. Now, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. Kyrie Irving does have bleep off, bleep you, and go bleep yourself money.
Right.
You know, he's already been making $30 million a year for years. Plus, he had a Nike deal for years. Plus, he had the Uncle Drew movie and soda deal. And he's made an obscene amount of money. If he decides, I don't care, I want to be my own boss, I managed to make a couple hundred million off the NBA, I'm not even 30 years old, I'm good. Hey, he can do that. My guess is he won't do that, though. My guess is he wants one more deal. Because guess what? This is something Ebro and I were talking about this morning. I think Kyrie is also not all the way convinced that he wants to be some guy who is beyond basketball. Like, he wants to say that he's that guy, Don, but he still loves the game of basketball. He still does want to play. He still does want to compete. And I think he still does want to be considered one of the best. So while he's had a period of being really into all these other philanthropic things and taking a stand on the vaccine and all things that I'm not doubting are near and dear to his heart, Don, I think this is a guy who still cares about being one of the best in the league.
But he also likes to keep us on our toes and being talked about.
He's figured that out.
That's the X factor here, is that, yeah, you'll get talked about if you're having a monster year, but will you get talked about even more if you're having a monster year and yet still do this, do that? Because I still am convinced he enjoys being talked about, even in the negative. There's a part of him that loves to monopolize the conversation, and boy, did he ever last year. For a net team that in the grand scheme of things didn't really do much and were never really that great, God, did Kyrie dominate the conversation. Is it enough for him to dominate that talk by just being a great basketball player, or will he feel like he's got to do other things? And even you, Peter, saying 68 games, that's still 14, missing 14 games.
And that's
not an insignificant amount. That's beyond load management.
14 is slightly beyond load management. Load management's 74, 73.
Yeah.
You get into the 60s, it means something happened, at least a little bit. Now, as far as the amount of bleeping money that Kyrie has, so far, Don, career earnings just in basketball, this is not endorsement or movies, etc., $193 million up till now. After next year, he'll be at $229 million career.
A quarter of that is enough to live on and your family to live on and generational money. But part of why you want those big contracts are also to say, look what I can do. I can command this money. Now, is he about that? Because that's how they really keep score. beyond the championships is, all right, what can I go out and get? It's not need. It's the prestige of what that contract means. Does he want to cost himself that? Or is it good enough to say, I could have gotten it, but you know what? I'm a little bit different than you are.
It's a great point.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.